The moderator, Rabbi Yisai, Bruchim Habayim, we haven't had the Parsha insights for a number of weeks since before the Yamim Tovim, so of course in that sense it's wonderful to be back. Bruchim Habayim, and as we say each and every week to those who are hearing the Shir live in the Heichal, to those who are currently listening on the phone line, and to those who Be'ezus Hashem will listen when the recording is sent out. And it's always meaningful to have the Parsha insights, but certainly now having the first Shir after a number of weeks, I'm very grateful to all those who are participating. The Shir is L'Zecher Nishmas, U'le'ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel. Please keep in mind that their Neshama Tahira Zolhavin Alichta Gegan Eden. Tonight's Shir is also L'Zecher Nishmas U'le'ilei Nishmas, Miriam Zlata, Bas Reb Moshe Michael. So please have that name in mind as well. Once again, Rebecca Bas Serina, Leon Ben Rachel, and Miriam Zlata Bas Reb Moshe Michael, for each of the Neshama Tahiris to have a Lichta Gegan Eden. Manoimar Manedaber. As we read, we had the letter that was sent out last week, our hearts are shattered. We're talking about something unprecedented. Klal Yisrael is going through an Eis Tzara Hili Yaakov. And it's for that we're crying, for that we're in pain, for the war that's taking place. We have nothing to, our hearts are shattered. We hear the numbers over 1,300 that were murdered. Taking place on Shabbos, that which was Simchas Torah in Eretz Yisrael. We hear the numbers of thousands that are wounded, some very critically. Approximately 200 that are still being held hostage. A few days ago, we and the world heard about atrocities and cruelty and brutality, murders and torture, beheading. We heard what was done to the children, to babies, to the elderly, to a Holocaust survivor, to the men, to the women. It sometimes feels that every time we see or hear a story, one is sadder than the next. Our heart seems to continuously break and continuously bleed. Story after story, and you see some of the pictures, the faces, the innocence, the youth. It must be said simultaneously, over the past week, we have heard stories that don't just scream, Mika'amcha Yisrael, but they shout in the very loudest of voices, Mika'amcha Yisrael. Some of the most extraordinary stories about one member, what members of Klal Yisrael do for each other, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but around the entire world. And somehow when we hear those stories of Mika'amcha Yisrael, maybe we feel within ourselves a glimmer of hope. And we realize that if we unite, we could storm, we could besiege the Sha'arei Shemayim, like we said just a few days ago when we benched Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, Hu Yigal Oisonu Bekarov. How we said those words like we perhaps have never said them before. Mayrai v'rabaisai, we are crying, Hu Yigal Oisonu Bekarov. For those that were murdered, for the families that were left behind, for all of the civilians, for those that are the hostages, for all of the chayalim, for all those in Eretz Yisrael, for Am Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. We beg you, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hu Yigal Oisonu B'Karayv. Let it be Mamish the Geula Shalema now. And so, yes, our hearts are shattered. We hear stories that sometimes we feel so numb. As we mentioned, we also hear stories of Mikamcha Yisrael. Over this past week alone, I heard, and which people shared with me, dozens and dozens of such stories. The moment you read them, the moment you hear them, you start crying. Tears of sadness mixing with tears of joy. And so Klal Yisrael finds ourselves, as we said a few moments ago when we started, in an unprecedented matzav. Eis tzara hi liyakov. And I'd like to dedicate this year, which is obviously Parshas Noach, to bringing out three or four points from the Parsha and tying those points into three or four things that I think we need to do. Let's start with the basics. When we talk about doing things these days, we're not talking about things that are optional, things that, let's see if they fit into our schedule or our comfort zone. We're talking about things that we're obligated to do. And perhaps the biggest obligation is for the reason. Maybe the three or four things that we're going to suggest this evening and tie it into the Parsha is for the reason of Naisei Ba'olam Chaveiroi. It's a concept we're familiar with on different levels. But now, Rabbeisai, it has to be brought out in the strongest terms. Let's clearly define what those words mean. Naisei Ba'olam Chaveiroi. We speak about doing kind acts, about doing chesed, about being there one yid for another, caring one for another. Naisei ba'olam chaveiroi is a darga of feeling Yemim's pain, to be acutely sensitive to a situation that our family is going through currently. Every moment we hear, or I shouldn't say every moment, but from time to time, a rocket that landed here or landed there, this happened, that happened. Naisei ba'olam chaveiroi is a must. It's not optional. It means that we try to mamish, feel the pain. We may not be able, and we don't. We do not fully comprehend the losses, what the chayalim are going through, what the hostages are going through. May the Ribbono Shel Olam return each and every one of them safely and quickly and in gesund back to their families. On the simplest level, Naisei Ba'olam Chaveiro means to try to feel the pain. What one does to feel that, on the basic level, and I've suggested this, many people have asked me, each one on their own level. For a child, it might mean one thing. For a younger person, an elderly person, one way to be Mekayim Naisei Ba'olam Chaveiro is to, I guess the easiest way to say it would be to give up something. By that I mean, if there was something that was planned, a place to go, something of entertainment or enjoyment to do, whatever it is, I'm not here to give specific examples. And by no means am I referring, there are many things that need to be done for a person's health or to continue for a person's sanity to be able to function. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody who's hearing these words must make sure that whether it's something of an excess or a luxury or a thing of enjoyment or entertainment, whatever it was, somebody just shared with me something this morning. I had spoken about this a few days ago to a family. And people are giving me examples. One family told me, and again, you might consider these examples to be ones that are relevant to you, not relevant to you. But the point is clear. One family told me that they had been planning a vacation to a certain place. How could I possibly do that when Klal Yisrael has an Eis Tzora Hi LeYaakov? Another family mentioned to me that from time to time they would treat the family to pizza, and they explained to the children were the one who requested, no, this week we don't want it. How could we possibly, when Klal Yisrael is going through what they're going through? Another family just this morning told me they had been planning for the longest time the family was going to be going to a sporting event. Of course, they're not going to the sporting event now. How could one? Whether the three or four examples that I just mentioned do apply to you or don't apply to you, the point is crystal clear. And it's a very good learning opportunity to teach the children. We were going to do this, but we're not. We were going to have this, but we're not. Why is something different? Why is something changing? Because we are mechuyev and obligated to be nisei ba'olim chaveiroi. So whatever example works for you and your family, if you're hearing the words coming out of my mouth, again, I'm not talking about something that's needed for one's health or for one's sanity or one's well-being. But when you do that davar and give it up, remind yourselves this is to be mekayim on a small level, nisei ba'olim chaveiroi. Number two, there's another way to be nice ba'elam chaveiroi, and maybe I should have started with this one. The pasuk tells us in the beginning that at the top of the teva there was a window. Tzoyar tasel ateva pasuk tezayin vav tezayin. You could look at it inside. Tzoyar tasel ateva, a window was on the top of the teva. And if you take a look at Rashi, I think we're very familiar with the idea that this tzayar was either a window, or what is the famous pshat Rashi says, it was a window or an Evan Toiva. Beautiful, you said that fabulously well. Or it was an Evan Toiva, a beautiful, shining, and scintillating stone, a gem. Tzayar tasel ateva, either a window or a gem. The Svarim tell us such a beautiful thought. With that second pshat that it's referring to a gem that shines, let's redefine those three words, Tzoyar tasel ateva. A teva means an ark, that which Noach built. But what else does a teva mean? What else is a teva? A teva is a word. A teva is a word. Maybe the Torah is teaching us Tzoyar tasel ateva. Every teva, every word, make it a tzoyar. Make it something that shines. Make it something that illuminates somebody's life. Is that a beautiful pshat, Rabbi Isai? Tzoyar tasel ateva. Every teva, every word, everything you say, tzoyar. Make it shine. Light it up. Make it illuminate. Tzoyar tasel ateva. And so, with this pshat in the pasuk, which is a marvelous and beautiful pshat, I'd like to suggest the next two things of being nosei ba'olam chaveiroi. Number two, what teva do we have, what word do we have more powerful now than our tefillah, than our prayer? I'm talking about davening with kavana. My father, Harav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal, used to say on probably one of the most well-known kapitlach in Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Shir Hamalois Mimamakim Keresicha Hashem, my father Zatzal would say, and he would motion with his hand in the following fashion, Shir Hamalois, which is the song and the tefillah ma'alois that ascends? Mi ma makim. The deeper, the more kavana, the depth, the lev, the neshama, the sincerity, the broken heart. Which one goes higher and higher and higher and pierces the shamayim? Mi ma makim. The type of teva, the type of tefillah, the type of weapon we need now is mimamakim. And again, as I said earlier, we're not talking about things that are optional. We're talking about what we are mechuyev, mandatory, obligated. The Kotzke Rebbe used to say so powerfully, Ein davar shalem kelev nishbor. Ein davar shalem kelev nishbor. There's nothing as whole as a broken heart. So yes, we started this year by saying our hearts are broken and shattered, but that's with a sense of purity. That's just a sense of being whole. Ein davar shalem kelev nishbor. There's nothing as whole as a broken heart. The Mayetzes Gedolei HaTorah said that everybody is obligated. We've been doing it here in Shul multiple times a day. And so if you weren't aware of it and now you're hearing it either in the Heichal or on the phone or through the recording, to say three Kapitloch Tehillim a day, Pei Gimel Kuf Lamed Kuf Mem Beis. Might I humbly suggest, besides saying this three Kapitloch Kuf, Pei Gimel, Kuf Lamed and Kuf Mem Beis, as I've said here in Shul many times, look at the English translation of the words. You will look at the English translation of these three kapitloch, and you'll literally shake some of the sentences that's mamish, 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 what we feel is taking place now. Each and every one of the sentences are so alive, speaking to us. This is the second way to be noise ba'olam chaveray. I will say it clearly. Hear me well. We owe it to them. We owe it to Am Yisrael. We owe it to all those to say these three kapitloch a day with kavana. Say it, mi mamakim. Say it with a broken heart. Ein davar shalem kelev nishbor. A few days ago, one of the mispalim in our shul went away for Shabbos. And he called and he shared with me this maisa. When he was passing in the airport through TSA, so his carry-on luggage apparently raised a little bit of suspicion, so it went through the machine and then it went through the side where he and the bag were pulled over. Now we know what it was. It was the tefillin and it was the sitter that was in a slipcase. But when they pulled him over, they didn't know what it was. They thought it was a type of weapon. I heard this from the person in our shul. He shared it with me right after it happened. And they opened it up. They went through the tefillin. They saw the rectangle box, the slipcase of the sitter. And afterwards, realizing that it was okay, they apologized to the person. They said to him, pointing to the rectangle case that held the sitter, "We're sorry, but we thought it was a weapon." And without missing a beat and tears in his eyes, he turned and said, "Gentlemen, it is a weapon. It is a spiritual weapon.
It is right now one of the most powerful spiritual weapons that my nation has."
So you gentlemen were correct. It is a weapon. And he told me they were moved to tears. It is our weapon. We speak about many types of weapons. We are here, we are not there. And so I humbly suggest, as Naisei Ba'olam Chaveiro number two, Tsoyar Tase LaTeva. Every word, make it a tsoyar, make it a gem that shines and illuminates. Every tefillah, every tear, every kapitel Tehillim, Mima makim, with a lev nishbar, with a sincerity, with a purity, yes, they were quite right, pointing to the sitter. It is our weapon. It is one of the most powerful spiritual weapons we currently have. Make sure to utilize it. And one final note before we move on to number three. Please realize that what we do here, be it in North Miami Beach, New York, California, wherever you might be when you hear this year, these things make a very real difference. But I'm 6,000 miles away, and giving up on a luxury makes a difference. I'm 6,000 miles away, abstaining or not having something that I was looking forward to be nice. These things make a tangible difference. If you take a look, the pasuk tells us just a few psukim earlier. Ki hishchis kol basar es darkai. I'm in pasuk yud beis. Why not see inside a few psukim earlier? The world had become corrupt. Ki hishchis kol basar es darkai. And the mefarshim tell us it was so corrupt that even the animals were min b'she'enai mina. The animals were corrupt in their relations, one with a different, from a different species. That's how corrupt the world became. And there's a very famous pshat on these words, ki hishchis kol basar es darkai. I heard it from my father's atzal countless times. It's the same concept that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter speaks about and the Chafetz Chaim speaks about. Look in the Svarim, look in the Beis Halevi and see it inside. What do you mean the animals were corrupt? Animals knew to be corrupt? Ki hishchis kol basar es darkai? And because we still have a lot to cover, I'll tell it to you very quickly. When there is corruption in the world, when people are corrupt, it affects the very environment. The chromosomes in the atmosphere become negatively and adversely affected so that even animals will behave and act in a corrupt fashion. And this is a very well-known concept. The air, the avira, the atmosphere becomes affected. But we know, Rabbi Yisrael, that when something works in the negative, midah tova meruba, in the positive, it works between 500 and 2,000 times greater. And so these svarim that I just quoted tell us that when a yid is in Odessa and will give tzedakah, that will cause somebody on the other end of the world to have a desire to become Shomer Shabbos. And when someone has a desire to become Shomer Shabbos in one part of the world, thousands of miles away, somebody will start learning a Daf HaYomi. And when somebody starts learning a Daf HaYomi halfway across the ocean, somebody says, I'm ready to become Chozer B'Tshuva. That is fundamentally the way the Midah Tova works. Whether we fully comprehend it. If ki hishchis kol basar es darkai works in the negative, midah tova meruba is 500 to 2,000 times greater. And so when someone does something in Florida, it could affect South Africa, and South Africa in London, and London, Eretz Yisrael, and back and forth and forth and back. So yes, to answer the question, all of these things that we're suggesting of being nice ba'olam chaveray, it's not only that we're trying to feel, trying to be margish, to have an acute sensitivity of feeling the pain of the Esara Hila Yaakov. That which we do makes a real difference. Every teva, every word, every kapitel, every broken heart, every tefila, everything with kavana, please, it's the weapon that we have, and it makes a difference across the world. Number three, while we're talking about the ability to use the words as our powerful weapon of tefillah, I'd like to spend a few minutes before we move on to the fourth and final thing, talking about another type of word. Tzoyer tase lateva, it has to be words that bein adam lachaveiro bring people closer together. Do you notice that a bit later on in the parsha, when we left the teva, Noach and his family, the pasuk tells us, perik ches, pasuk yotes, lemishbechaseim yatsu min ateva. Those were the last four words of perik ches, pasuk yotes, lemishbechaseim yatsu min ateva. Literally, it means that when they left the teva, they went out by their families. In other words, each one with their own family. I remember once hearing a beautiful pshat. When you leave a teva, to show that you've learned the lesson and you're coming back to the world, l'mishpachaseihem yotzu min ateva, come out as a mishpacha. Come out as a united, solidified, and cohesive mishpacha. And I don't just mean in a physical sense. L'mishpachaseihem yotzu min hateva. They're leaving the teva. They want to show that they understood and they're making a change. L'mishpachaseihem yotzu. Come out as a family unit. Come out with achdus. Come out chaveirim kol Yisrael with a unified and solidified and achdus of yachad shiftei Yisrael. We must show right now l'mishpachaseihem yotzu min ateva. A chaveirim kol Yisrael. And that brings us to the third way to be nice ba'olam chaveiroi. There's another type of word that has to be made a shining gem. And that's, of course, the words that bring us closer and not that divide us. Never can one speak lashon hara rechila seinaz dvarim mitzvi shemra. But chalila, chalila, at this time of a sarahila Yaakov. Last week when we had a gathering here for our kehila, I had mentioned that which the Vilna Gaon brings down. The Medrash tells us, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, al kol hatzaras habos aleichem ana yachol lahatzil eschem. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I can save you from all tzaras, but one thing, Shoit Loshoin Techovei. You cannot have a prowling tongue. Because when you have a prowling tongue, a tongue that speaks Loshon Hara, Rechilas, Einaz Dvorim, Maitzi Shemra, it's off. It's off. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I can save you. Akol Atzoros Hakois Aleichem. Ani Yochel Ahatil Eskem. But one thing, you cannot have Shoit Loshon Techovei. You cannot have a prowling tongue, a loose tongue, because the minute we speak lashon hara, rechila, shayna, dvarim, mitzi shema, the antithesis of tzayal tasela teva, we've broken through that protective barrier in a most, most dangerous way. And so the third way to be nice ba'elam chaveirai and make a very real difference is to remember l'mishpachaseihem yatsu min ateva. As a mishpacha called Klal Yisrael to unite chaveirim kol Yisrael, yachad shiftei Yisrael, with the unity and solidifying that brings us closer, to use the words to light up, to encourage, to be there for someone. But chalila, 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 mayer avir abaysai, to violate Shait Lashon Techovei. The fourth and final way that we could try to be nice Be'el, and because the hour is late, we can't go into it in detail, but I'll mention it Bekitzer. You'll learn more about it, and then we'll end with a quick bracha and a maisa. Maybe the fourth way is what we suggested this past Shabbos in the drasha I won't be able to give it over in all of the details, but the Bekitzer is, and many, many people are aware of this Aruch HaNer. It seems to be going forth and back and back and forth. Everyone seems to be familiar with what the Aruch HaNer tells us. The Aruch HaNer speaks out how, based on the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, when, as it was this year, the first day of Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos, there was no shofar. And the Gemara speaks out how not blowing shofar is a terrible thing, but if you're an oynes, because the reason we don't blow the shofar is because Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos, not to carry, we listen to our Rabbanan. See, Tosfos there, Tosfos speaks about it. But what's the hesber? What's the explanation why? And what does it mean in a year when you don't blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because it's Shabbos? The Aruch HaNer tells us the worst years Klal Yisrael has ever had, says the Aruch HaNer, were the years when we did not blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because it was Shabbos. The year that the first and second Batei HaMikdash were destroyed, both of those years where shofar was not blown on the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
But my Rabbi, the best and best years we've ever had were years that we didn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The year of the Hakamas HaMishkan. The year that we were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel, the unforgivable sin. The year that we entered Eretz Yisrael. All three of those events, from the most glorious, glorious ever,
were years that we didn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah the first day because it was Shabbos. The very worst and the very best. How could that be? Says the Aruch HaNer, imagine that there's an officer who the king says he found out he did something terrible and he's going to have to judge him harshly. No lawyer wants to take the case. He don't stand a chance in front of the king. He shares with his wife his predicament and the wife says, I know the king, I know the system, I'll go on your behalf. And sure enough, she goes on behalf of her husband, she pleads before the king. The king is impressed with everything that the wife says. And indeed, he's off the hook. He's freed. But a few weeks later, there's another officer who also committed a crime. This fellow happens to be a difficult and arrogant and brash person. And he too doesn't stand a chance, and no lawyer wants to take the case. You don't stand a chance in front of the king. But he knows that the first one a few months earlier was let off because the wife pleaded on the husband's behalf. So he turns to his wife and he tells his wife, go to the king on my behalf. The other wife was successful and you'll be successful. And she goes and she starts to plead her husband's case in front of the king. And in the middle, the king looks at her. He notices bruises and welts on her body. And he asks her, what is that? How'd you get that? And she tries to sidestep the question. And people around tell the king, we notice what those bruises are from. We notice those welts and those gashes and those black and blue marks. They explain to the king, it must be that her husband is physically abusive and beats her. The king, in an uproar, he turns to her and said, is that true? And she admits, yes, it is. He's physically abusive.
And the king looks at the wife and says, you came as a sanegar, you're a kateger. You came to defend for your husband, but looking at the way he treats you, and looking that you're physically abused, and looking at all of the physical that you go to from him,
that's not a defense, it's a prosecution against him. And the king was incredibly harsh with the way he treated. The Aruch HaNer says, we know that every day of the week has a zug. Some say it's Sunday to Monday and Tuesday to Wednesday and Thursday to Friday. Others explain it's Sunday to Wednesday, Monday to Thursday, Tuesday to Friday. But whatever it is, who is the bas zug of Shabbos?
Shabbos Malkus, or Shabbos is the queen, the wife. Who's the husband? We, Klal Yisrael, are the husband. And on a year where we don't blow shofar, on a regular year where Rosh Hashanah is during the week, shofar is what goes to Shemayim to try to plead on our behalf, to try to ask for rachamim on our behalf. But on a year that there's no shofar in Rosh Hashanah on the first day because it's Shabbos, Shabbos is what goes to the king. Shabbos is what ascends to Shemayim instead of shofar to plead on our behalf. What does our Shabbos look like? Because if our Shabbos presents itself as the first wife, Shabbos Malkisa, a beautiful, beautiful queen of what we do, the way we spend time, what we don't do, the aura, then that wife pleads on our behalf instead of shofar. And those years were the best years ever. Entering Eretz Yisrael, forgiven for the unforgivable, the Hakamas HaMishkan. But if our Shabbos Chalila does not look that way, and our Shabbos looks like in the mashal, the wife that has been physically abused, then when that Shabbos instead of shofar tries to be a defense on our behalf, we have those other type of years, like the Churban of the two Batei HaMikdash. And so for the fourth and final suggestion as we conclude this year, please, I beg you if you're hearing these words, what does our Shabbos look like? Perhaps that's why Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein explained that we should learn two halachas of Shabbos a day. There's a whole potpourri of Sfarim in Hebrew and English. We ourselves are learning Mishneh Berurah Hilcha Shabbos now. You could take Reb Shimshon Pinkas Shabbos Malkus, a classic Sefer on Shabbos. This year we did not have Shofar on Rosh Hashanah because it was Shabbos. We had Shabbos instead. This year, we have to make sure that the way we spend our Shabbos, what we do on Shabbos, the way, the aura, the kedusha, the sanctity of Shabbos, let it be the most beautiful, beautiful Shabbos Malkus on men, women, children. We must, so that beautiful Shabbos Malkus will present itself on our behalf, not as a kategor, but as a sanegor. And so in conclusion, may we merit the bracha. Esorahi liyakov, it's not optional, we're obligated to be noisei ba'olam chaveray on the deepest level. We are demanding this of each other. And let's remember, ki hishkas kol basar es darkei, oy, could it make a difference? Not could it make a difference, it does make a difference. Number one, noisei ba'olam chaveray, something that perhaps we were going to do or have or spend, whatever it is, we won't. And we'll explain to ourselves and our spouse and our children, it's a small way to try to be nice ba'il. Number two, Tzayar Tasa Lateva, as this person was told by TSA, we thought it was a weapon, and he responded, it is a weapon. Mima Makim, Lev Nishbar. It is one of the most powerful spiritual weapons that we have. Pe Gimel, Kuf Lamed, Kuf Mem Beis, daily. Number three, L'mishpachei Seyem Yatsu Min Ateva. Klal Yisrael has to be one mishpacha of a Chaverim Klal Yisrael, solidified and unified, and that Tzayar Tasa Lateva means that I now use words to unite, not to divide. Because remember, when a person starts up with that evil, Lashon Hara, Rechilas, and Azdvar, Metzi Shemra, all of that protective barrier, Shait, Lashon Techave, it's off. And finally, number four, it was a year that we didn't have Shofar on Rosh Hashanah because it was Shabbos, so what we do have is Shabbos Malkisa. Our way of being Nesei Ba'olam Chaveiro is an enhanced,
learning the halachos, a kedusha Shabbos, how we spend the day, so that Shabbos will be the ultimate sanegar. We started the shir by speaking about Mika Amcha Yisrael. It seems like every story brings us a mixture of tears of joy and tears of sadness. Just yesterday, one of my siblings sent me a story how a 15-year-old boy from the New Jersey area said, if you hear, it was a 30-second message, if you hear these words, keep Shabbos for the first time, or if you haven't kept it for years, keep it now, this Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis, meaning it was last week, and if you do, I'll enter you into a raffle for $500. A young teenager, a beautiful boy, making that pure and sincere offer. What's the upshot in the end of the story? As of last count, over 280 people sent him back responses, some of which I got, the most beautiful and heartwarming responses. 200, and, besides the fact that people added money to the lottery, to the raffle, instead of 500, now it's over 5,000. 280 people were ready to keep Shabbos. We're ready to be nice. That's a Shabbos Malkusa. I want to end with a bracha at a community gathering last week. I mentioned that when the son-in-law of the Kamenetz Rosh Hashiva, Reb Baruch Ber Leibowitz, Reb Reuven Gazovsky, his father was nifter, it was a while before the news was known. Reb Reuven did not know his father passed away. So after some time, they asked his father-in-law, the Rosh Hashiva, Reb Baruch Ber, should we tell your son-in-law Reb Reuven? And he said no. And they asked Reb Baruch Ber, but if we don't tell your son-in-law, Ver vet zogin kaddish, who's going to say kaddish? To which Reb Baruch Ber looked at these talmidim in response to Ver vet zogin kaddish, and he said, my son-in-law Reb Reuven darfnish zogin kaddish. He doesn't need to say kaddish. Val Reb Reuven tut kaddish. Every action, every interaction, every moment, he is a living Kaddish. There are, unfortunately, countless people that over the last week are zogging Kaddish. The heartbreaking Levayas, those Kaddishim that are piercing Shemayim, there are people, unfortunately, that are zogging Kaddish. Our job is to tuin Kaddish, to live Kaddish, to act Kaddish, to behave Kaddish. Our actions, our Nesi Ba'ol, our davening, our Lim Shvichei Seyem, our Shabbos should be the ultimate manifestation of Kedusha. And in that schus that we're Nesi Ba'ol and tuin Kaddish, may we be Zeich, as we said, Hu Yigal Oysanu B'Karev, and to be Zeich now, to the Gula Shalema b'mheira b'yameinu, amen.